This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. The MFG Cast presents 13th Street.
That's where we'll be. You made me complete on the edge of my seat. Sweep me off my feet down on 13th Street. Kept me in this town, knocked me down, turned me upside down, tore me down. Then I came around, down on 13th Street.
I think he hails a cab. He goes to the Glow. The Glow is centrally located, kind of where I need to be, right? So, like, if the office is the center and the apartment's 20 minutes this way, then maybe, you know, the Glow is 20 minutes the other way or whatever, or, like, further down the street. It's in the area of where I need to be, I think. Yeah. I'm gonna start with that.
Okay. Yeah, so you're probably, like, afternoonish now?
I was going to meet her at 10. You know, I imagine the conversation was as long as we had the conversation, right? So it was like 15 minutes.
Yeah, so it wasn't that long. So
and then I sat for a little bit and then kind of walked around. So yeah, it might have been like a half hour, 20 minutes back. It's like 11-ish.
Okay, all right.
Right?
Yeah, so 11 o'clock morning. This is still the morning, right?
Early afternoon.
Early afternoon, yeah.
I mean, she was gone. And, yeah. And the Glow is open.
Yeah, it's open
pretty much all the time.
Yeah.
Like closes at 2, opens at 10. Yeah. Your bar flies are in there by like 10:30.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, we'll say that she is. Or, well, let's. So yeah, so you hit the Glow Lounge. You've done this before during the day. It's not as glamorous as it is at night. At least it doesn't feel like it because you know people aren't as gussied up. You've got your drunks, you've got your random passerbyers that come in for a drink. I would say even maybe back then there might be people that come in at a for their lunch break. They do serve food. I don't think it was thing where back then where they were too opposed to having a drink before going back to work. So you know it's not packed, but let's just say it's like a fourth.
Okay.
Because of the night before. We're going to say that Bill is taking the day off to recover from his birthday. So David is at the door. Again, not very nice. Just kind of gives you one of those. It's weird because even during the day, they give you these like really rough pat downs. And you're like, buy me something from. And
okay. He doffs his hat and he kind of looks around to see, you know, takes in that whole scene and makes his way over to where the coat check is to see, you know, if she's in working.
Yeah.
Because that's the only reason why he's here. She didn't say, like, I mean, I guess vaguely they kind of know each other's schedules at this point. I don't think he would be cognizant of like, oh, did she say he was going to work today? Because like the whole thing was a shit show. So he's just here to see if she's here.
Yeah. Yeah, so you see her. She's actually checking in. Somebody's giving a ticket.
Yeah, he stands off and lets business happen.
Mm-hmm. You know, as she gives the lady her ticket or whatever, and she starts to walk away, she says in like a little too loud of a voice, "Well, you've got some nerve showing your face here." And the lady kind of looks back at you and like kind of gives like one of these like, "Who's this guy?" or whatever. And she looks at Jane, and Jane just kind of like waves her off and just kind of takes off.
And like he's like hat in hand, you know, like he's got hand on either side of the poof in the hat, you know. And he says, you know, he kind of hangs his head a little bit, and he says, I wanted to come and check on you. You know, you left this morning, you didn't say nothing.
And she just kind of like, she's mad at you, but she's kind of got a little bit of a wry smile on her face. And she's like, "I didn't do anything wrong."
Oh, I don't know how glib he would be at this moment. I think he just says, "I'd like to think that I didn't either." And he kind of like looks to see how it lands.
Yeah. And she doesn't give you a hard, serious look, but she kind of stiffens a little bit. And she says, "Well, you, sir, are wrong."
And like he just kind of nods. I don't know. This is tough. We do this for fun.
I know, right?
I think he just looks like he looks at, mm-hmm. right? Like eye contact. Says, "Just wanted you to know I was thinking about you. I wanted to make sure that you were okay."
He kind of like appreciatively nods her head. "You know me. I'll be fine."
Okay. You need anything, you give me a call.
And she puts on a more serious face. She looks at you. She says, "For us to work, it has to be only us."
Yeah. Yeah. You're my girl.
"For us to work, it has to be only us."
And he kind of stops and like cocks his head and looks at her like, "What?" Can I make an insight roll?
Yeah, of course. Let's see. Because of your inquisitive attitude on it, I'm going to make it a 5.
I got a +2 for insight. It's a 7, sir.
Nice. He's basically telling you, if anything happens with Evie again, we're through.
Okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
And?
I don't know. I suck at this.
No, you don't.
Right, because it doesn't have to be related, but it seems like it feels like it should be, right? Like,
yes. This is very... I feel like this is the perfect specific moment for you to have a good aunt.
And she's not mad anymore?
I could let that swing if you had the right thing.
God, you're making it so hard. It's just you and me. She's in the past. Like we talked about. It's a done deal. We're moving forward. And she's not looking back.
She gives you a like affirmative head shake.
And she lets me give her a hug.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, she accepts it. She, let's say before you give her a hug, she like punches you in the shoulder, like kind of hard, because she's just like, "You need some punishment here." So she just kind of gives you like a little bit of a nudge, like, "You asshole."
Right.
And then she accepts it.
And she doesn't necessarily hug back, mm-hmm. but she also doesn't like pull away or.
Yeah, yeah. To tell you the truth, I think she does hug back because she wants this relationship to.
Mm.
It's been obvious since day one. It's right. Just now that you fuck things up, it doesn't necessarily mean she doesn't trust you. Like she's been saying since pretty much you've kind of been hanging out to begin with, she's like, "You have to."
I feel like he has, right? Like more so than when we started.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, I mean, he kind of didn't do it. Like he didn't initiate, right? Like
he didn't, but he also didn't reject it.
He did pull away, right? We'd have to listen to the tape.
Eventually.
Immediate, right? Yeah, it wasn't immediate. Yeah, you're right.
Because you could have just been like, "Whoa, no.
Right, right.
But you were like, right. "Okay, I guess."
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. That's totally fair. I'm trying to whitewash it.
You will not, sir. I will not let you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You're right. Nope. I'm not gonna argue it. Yeah, so he takes off then. Like she's okay. She didn't like kill Evie. Like there's no fighting going on. Yeah, like it, like his concern was more that she would come to work and you fucking bitch.
Yeah. Hey, who knows if that didn't happen beforehand?
Well, I mean, that's right.
She didn't say anything,
so I don't know. I mean, he feels like he did the right, like overall, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So he takes off. And I think he would go down to the police station.
Okay.
To see if he can snag Spearnew in the office. Or like he's a detective, so you figure like if he's not like the site's been investigated, right? So he's probably in the office doing paperwork.
Yeah.
Or, like, probably. You know, tracking down leads or whatever. Like that would be my thought. Would be probably.
Yeah.
And Brian might be there too, right? So like two birds of something.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So you make it to the police station. You said you are going to be looking for Detective
Spearnew.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you go to the front. Boy, I don't even know what you would call it. Maybe like the.
It's not like a reception window, but I think they have someone like.
Yeah.
At a desk counter. Back then, probably not behind like bulletproof glass or anything.
Just
somebody standing at a desk or whatever.
Yeah. And they're like, how may I help you, sir?
I was wondering if Detective Spearnew was in. It's my name's George Armstrong.
And what is this regarding?
I had a couple of follow-up questions on a case that I was working on.
Okay, and what's your case number?
I'm a PI. It's usually just the names and notes and stuff.
Okay, roll me a brains roll with a DL of 2.
I rolled a 5. It's not going to matter, but I just wonder if I could add, like, I think I actually have law.
Yeah, if you want to.
So it's a 6 total.
Nice. Yeah, so you can tell that he is very like, oh, one of you guys. So like he is very leery about wanting to rush to help you out. And
maybe Brian walks in right now.
Okay.
All right. Oh, hey, Georgie, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly. So he comes out like he's gonna you kind of hear him, you know, yell behind him or whatever. And he's like, yeah, I get it. I owe you this time. All right, fine. And he turns back and he says, oh, hey, George.
Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
Good. I was just going for, you know, just going for a coffee run. It's interesting to see you here.
Yeah. I was following up with the Detective Spearnew, and he kind of like side eyes the guy standing at the desk. Yeah, we had to catch up on a couple of things.
Brian kind of like fakes being like offended. He's like, "Oh, you're not here to see me, eh? All right, well, I suppose you probably have better things to do than to be in my business, I guess." That reminds me, how's the case going?
It's going. I'm tracking down a couple of leads.
That's good. I hope it all turns out. Sorry, I haven't really been around lately to kind of help you out as much as I could, but some things are kind of happening around here. It's real hush hush. I really can't tell you anything about it. And he kind of side eyes the person at the front too, and they're like, well, you know, you'll probably see it on the news later, I'm sure.
Oh, shit, big stuff then. I have to make sure I keep the radio on.
Yeah, for sure. Make sure you keep those ears open. All right, well, I got to get going. I got some things I got to do, but take care of yourself.
Yeah, you too. Stay safe out there.
All right, you too.
And then, like, he just, like, casually lights a cigarette, turns back, and, like, looks at the guy behind the desk.
Yeah. So, like, let's just say he's still not very impressed with you, but let's just say that he is like, he kind of like straightens up a little bit. He's like, oh, I'll see if Detective Spearnew is in.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And, he's like leans on the counter, kind of like turns.
Yeah.
You know, like not completely like turns back to him, but kind of, you know, just sort of like leaning now.
Yeah. Yeah. So he picks up the phone and he actually pages his number or whatever. And it gives a few rings. And then you kind of hear some, you know, you hear him kind of say, yeah, there's a George Armstrong to see you. And then you hear, yep. Okay. Uh-huh. Yep. All right. And then he hangs up and he's like, oh, Detective Spirino will be with you in a moment. He's actually, actually busy at the moment, but, he should see you in a few moments.
Great. Thanks. I appreciate it.
No problem. He says, even though he's, you can tell he's kind of like, it is kind of a problem. Yeah.
So like he sort of pushes off from the counter and like, you know, he can't really go anywhere, right? Like it's a police station, but like he, you know, steps away and maybe like goes look out the front door and, you know, like he's just waiting around. So meta wise, I don't know that it matters, but my thought being that I don't necessarily know that Spirino would want other people to know that like he's feeding me information, which is why I was, you know, trying to be a little cagey.
Okay.
You know, kind of Columbo-y, like, well, you know, I don't know. There's no numbers. It's, you know, you're like, oh yeah, I'm working on the fire case with the Abrams thing. And you'd be like, oh yeah, well you can fuck right on off out of here, you know?
Nice. No, that's perfect. So Detective Spirino, after a few moments, comes out about or whatever. And he's like, Mr. Armstrong, good to see you again. And they're like, very like cordial, very like handout, very almost kind of stiff. Like he's kind of fighting the fact that you're here or whatever, but like you can tell he's acting.
Yeah. So yeah, like he doffs his hat, he shakes his hand. Oh yeah, it's good to see you again. I had a couple of follow-up questions. If you have a couple of minutes, I'd like to talk to you.
Sure. You know what? I'm pretty sure that we can find ourselves a place to go talk.
Great. Lead the way.
All right. And then he, you know, he kind of, you know, starts walking. He was walking, you know, in front of you and you're behind or whatever. And as you're kind of walking through the squad room, like you get some quizzical looks. Some are, like what is he doing here with Spirino? Some of them are like, fuck this guy to you.
this and, asshole again.
yeah, exactly. And, Spirino doesn't give up the fact that you're working together or you have something that, you know, each other maybe needs from each other, that kind of thing. It almost looks like he's treating you as a suspect almost, instead of
like a perp walk almost.
Yeah, exactly. And then he opens up the door, ushers you in. And even though you don't see this, I'm going to kind of give a wink to the crowd where he opens the door, lets you in, and then he looks at a couple of people and then he winks at them like, ooh, we've got him now kind of thing. And so, you know, you get a couple of, he gets a couple of head nods from people in the squad and he comes in and locks the door.
I think like as he walks past me to like sit down in his chair, it's like, well, that's a kind of frosty reception from the peanut gallery out there.
And he kind of laughs and he says, I think you know just as much as I do how welcome you are around here.
I thought things got a little bit better after the whole, you know, Sullivan thing. They clean house a little bit.
Yeah. I think it's better. I wouldn't say it's great, but I think your chances are better than they are not.
Yeah, well, I guess they don't like me doing their jobs either.
Yeah, even if someone's a good cop and another guy's a bad cop, you know, a lot of us cops, we just feel like we need to stick together, some of us. And he kind of looks at you or whatever. And he's like, some of us don't feel like we have to be that much of a brotherhood if somebody's going to be a shithead, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. I was a little cagey with the guy up front. I wasn't sure if you'd want them to know that, you know, you're dishing me a little bit of info here.
Oh, that's okay. Peterson's a dick anyway, so you don't have to worry about him.
Yeah, Brian saved my ass. Yeah, he came walking out. I was trying to get him to give you a call, you know, see if you were in, and he was, you know, kind of giving me the hassle me a little bit.
Oh, yeah. That should be his nickname, because that's all he does is hassle people.
Yeah.
So what do you have for me?
Well, a couple of things. I talked to one of the neighbors, Josie Penelope. I don't know if she was on your radar or not. She helped Doobie out that night, you know, the night of the fire.
Yeah, yeah. You know, what's funny is we weren't able to get, we initially had a talk with her, you know, right after the fire, but like we wanted to do a follow-up and she kind of disappeared off the map. You found her.
Yeah. He kind of laughs. I got the connections about town, you know how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Got to be connected. Otherwise, how can you do your job?
Well, so here's the interesting thing. Well, there's a couple interesting things, really. Maybe the most important one is the vagrant that was supposedly down in 3C. When I talked to Doobie and then I talked to her, they both agreed that the guy had shiny shoes. But Penelope, Miss Penelope, she said that she thought they looked like the shoes that the I was going to say super. What are we saying?
Maintenance man.
That the maintenance man had. Very similar. His name is Larry, I think. Is he somebody that you talked to after the fire?
Yeah. I think I did. And he goes rummaging through his notes. Yeah. He's got it like his notebook. He's kind of looking through his paperwork, wherever he's like, yeah. Larry Mose. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think we talked to the guy. He didn't seem like he had really anything on him, so we kind of, you know, let him go or whatever. But so you think it might be this maintenance man that has the shiny shoes, eh?
Yeah. He African American gentleman. Do you have an afro, perhaps?
Yeah. He's pretty tall. He's like 6 foot something, maybe 6 foot two, I think.
Yeah. See, that's what Miss Penelope said. Contradicted a little bit with Doobie said. Guy walked with a limp, you know, maybe he was acting, not too sure. So maybe that checks out if he was trying to throw people off. Miss Penelope said that this guy walked with purpose and, you know, seemed like he knew where he was going. He had the key. So kind of sounds like the maintenance guy could be.
Very interesting. I mean, he does have access to all. Probably all the apartments if the landlord actually, you know, gives them all the keys.
Yeah. And while he's saying that, like I'm taking out a cigarette. So when he says that, like he just nods big, you know, blows out a big cloud of smoke. Yeah. And then he would know if, the landlord was coming to investigate and to beat feet. They never did find anybody in there.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. That makes sense. Access in, ease access out.
The thing that gets me is I don't know why, like, what would be the point? You know, maybe owe somebody some money, maybe somebody talked them into it. I mean, and it makes sense if the boiler was messed around with, he'd be the guy to know how to do it, right?
Yeah, that's true. You know, maybe he saw something and, you know, maybe he's trying to, you know, bleed some money out. Of JJ, who knows?
They seemed like they were pretty free. I mean, they were helping people in the neighborhood. Maybe he thought he should have been helped over somebody else. Maybe he took offense to it.
Well, that's interesting.
Would explain the stove too.
Would. It's a lot of access points. That's interesting.
It may pay to do, maybe a little bit of a background check on him. I mean, I can ask my sources too. Seems unlikely unless he's mixed up in something you know, really shady.
Yeah.
The other thing, maybe more interesting, when I talked to when I talked to Clarice Abram, she said that she knew Miss Penelope, but only in passing, you know, see her in the elevator, that kind of thing. When I talked to her, though, she said that she was very familiar with the Abramses, both, and that Claire and her brother Malcolm, I believe,
mm-hmm.
That they would bring her food, took her to the hospital. Apparently, Miss Penelope's has some health issues, so they were intimately involved, you could say. And it seems weird that, and it, you know, maybe it was stress, maybe it was, you know, I don't know. It seems like a weird thing to not be truthful about.
Yeah, that's interesting. I almost wonder if Clarice has a problem with maybe Penelope's background. Maybe Miss Penelope had some things on her record that maybe she just didn't want to be a part, you know, attached to. I don't know.
Yeah, but it seems weird though, right? I mean, they got pretty much an open door policy in there that people coming and going or helping people in the neighborhood. What's one more person?
Yeah, that's really, yeah, that's a good point.
So, I mean, I don't know. I know that Clarice was out of the apartment that night. She was at her friend's, and then, like, he takes out his notebook and starts flipping through. Miss Kimberly, or Mrs., perhaps, Kimberly Peterson. She was over there that evening when the fire happened. It's convenient, but not, you know, I mean, people lead active social lives. You know, that doesn't mean anything, but it's also interesting when you couple it with the I don't want to say lie, but misinformation that was provided.
Mm, yeah, that's interesting. Mm. And he's like kind of scribbling down his notebook and stuff like that. He's like, well, there's a lot of different avenues to take here. I think the number one most obvious one is that maintenance man, Mr. Larry Mose. I mean, it seems like too much of a coincidence. And hey, maybe someone with a similar build and, you know, those shiny shoes or whatever, I'm sure they were probably the same color, but, you know, maybe someone found some shoes of the similar like or whatever and just made it look like to be him. So, you know, maybe check it up, you know, on this guy's background and, you know, seeing where it goes is probably our best bet.
Yeah, it seems like the most obvious. For Claire to have been involved, I mean, you know, how far down a rabbit hole do you want to go? Her son got the rights to the catalog for the music. I know JJ wasn't performing as much as he used to. So Malcolm was, I say, picking up the slack, but he was performing quite a bit more and then was cut out of that. I mean, he wrote a lot of the music, right? So, like, you would think he would at least get some partial investment, but you know, if Malcolm were to have killed him, it seems like a pretty big stretch. I mean, people kill people for less, I guess. I mean, we're not talking about an insignificant amount of money, I suppose. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Interesting. So, you know, so you've done a lot of work here. So what are you thinking? What are you thinking is going to be your next steps?
Like, he takes a deep drag and, like, you know, leans back in the chair and, you know, blows out a huge plume of smoke. And he says, you know, I'm honestly not sure. I can look around town, look for, you know, see if I can find anything out about Larry. How do you spell Larry's last name?
M-O-S-E.
Okay, M-O-S-E. Let me write that down. I can see if I can find out anything on him. Again, if depending on where he's dipping his hands, I might not be too likely for me to find anything. It would be it could be problematic for me to lean on Claire and Malcolm to insinuate that my client is, you know, killed her own husband.
Yeah, I think you need some hard evidence because rich people like that have lawyers for that kind of thing.
Yeah. You don't want to bite the hand that feeds you. And the son, too. I mean, JJ was a hothead. Son was a hothead. Miss Penelope indicated that she could hear them arguing quite often. Again, you got, you know, money involved. You got weird family things. I mean, who can say?
It's true. A lot of avenues to look at.
Hey, you know what? I never did ask you. It slipped my mind when we were out to dinner, or maybe just when we were out on our date. What was the condition of JJ's body? Did he have any visible trauma other than, you know, fire, asphyxiation, smoke inhalation? What did the autopsy show? I'm assuming he was autopsied.
Yeah. So he brings up, again, paperwork, looking through everything or whatever, you know, kind of looking or whatever. He says, you know, besides the smoke inhalation or whatever, the body also had traces of natural gas in his system, which from the gas leak, obviously that would affect him. So he's like, the coroner actually thinks that he might not have even known that there was a fire, because he might have passed out from the fumes or whatever before his body was, I'm trying to think of a technical term for saying caught on fire, basically. Yeah. But he's like, yeah, I don't see any other foul play or any other indication that it would be anything else. But,
well, I mean, we can only hope that he wasn't conscious for that. That's a hell of a way to go.
Yes, for sure.
Well, yeah, shit. I don't know. It's a bit of a head scratcher.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try to hit some avenues myself. I'll try to run that background track on Mr. Mose. Maybe look more into the son, Abraham or Abram Jr. You know, maybe I'll even look into Mr. Jensen. Again, he hasn't had any priors or anything like that. So that, don't know if that's quite going that way, but you never know. Again, writing partner, trying to get that money kind of thing, you know, it could be a possible avenue. So I'll hit some of those things. I should be able to get some of those put in tonight. Hopefully I can get those either by tonight or in the morning. If anything pops up, I'll let you know.
Yeah, if you could just, you know, leave a message with my secretary if you don't catch me in the office.
For sure. And I appreciate you bringing this to me.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like I said before, I want to deal with you straight. I don't need any more trouble.
It's weird because the one thing I always hear is trouble always seems to find you.
Well, I mean, that's not an unfair statement, let's say.
I suppose the line of work you're in, that's pretty much a given.
Yeah, well, you and me both, right? I mean, I want to think that we're both pulling the cart in the same direction, you know?
Seems likely.
All right. Oh, one last thing. I don't know if you had a chance to look into it or at all or not, but did you find anything about Ace Johnson? So when we were at dinner, I had asked him if he had if he knew of him, if he had worked with him at all, and he was aware of him. He was the one that told me that Ace thought that DeLuca killed his partner. So essentially it boiled down to, is like, he would look into it. I guess I could go through all the notes.
Yeah.
Was going to like put in a word to see, like, you know, either to get him lay off or to find out what was going on or,
yeah,
whatever. Yeah, something, yeah, like that. Sure. Like he knew people or whatever.
Yeah. So I want you to roll me a brains roll. If you need to roll me a, what would be reading somebody's body language be?
Insight.
Insight. Yeah, roll me that. I'll have it be a... I don't think I want it to be a high DL, so I'll just do three.
Okay. That, I think that's a six. Yep, that's an eight.
Oh, holy shit. So you realize that he kind of stiffens up and he's like, yeah, I did. And unfortunately, I can't share that with you at the moment.
Like he kind of cocks his head and looks at him a little bit. Like it's not the answer that he was expecting. Sure. Do I have anything that I need to worry about?
And he
more than usual.
Yeah, yeah. And he thinks about it a little bit and he's like, how much can I give up to you? And he kind of looks at you and he says, if I were you, I wouldn't worry about anything at the moment.
That's what I like to hear.
Isn't that what we always like to hear?
Yeah, yeah. All right. If you don't have anything for me, I think that's everything that I found out about.
Okay. Just to let you know, I'm going to give a little bit of a show, a little bit of a bravado, and I'll let you on your way.
Sounds good. Just watch the face.
So he leads you out, but he doesn't like hurt you. He like kind of grabs your arm a little bit and just kind of leads you out. And then he says a little bit too loud and he's like, well, and if you have any more information, here's my card. Make sure that you let me know as soon as possible.
And then he like puts his hands up. He's like, yeah, sure. I'll call you.
You have a good day, Mr. Armstrong.
And he like waits a beat and he's like, sure, you too.
You know what? I would like you to roll me a performance check.
All right. I don't think could I use my fast talk?
Sure. I'll give it to you, but I'm going to make this DL a little bit harder. I'm going to make it a five.
Oof. All right. What is my fit? Oh, I only have two for charm. They're all another six. So seven.
Nice. Nice.
Yes. And
nice. So yeah. So I'll even give you the and. So like there's more people than you would have thought you would have impressed with that performance. That's basically my and. It's like everyone's kind of like, ooh, you kind of give him the business a little bit, but he's treating him a little soft, you know. And some of the guys that don't quite like you just kind of like snicker, kind of like, oh, I really, really hope he kind of gave it to him good, you know, that kind of thing. So
yeah, I'm not trying to make any waves for him. So if I can facilitate, I don't care what these guys think necessarily.
Yeah, know? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I've got two detectives on my side.
Yeah, so you're out of the police station. So where to next?
I don't even know. Again, I think it's only been like 2 days, right? Like,
yeah, I know.
All these seasons.
It's so like... funny because it's like for the episodes, it's going to be like 10 to 12 episodes. But like for real life, it's going to be 2 or 3 days for each campaign.
Which I maybe kind of makes sense. I don't know. Like, I know that, like, you know, the police don't solve murders in like 3 days or whatever, but
yeah,
like in movie logic terms, right?
Yeah,
like
it's, exactly.
You know, kind of media experience or whatever
that we're doing. It's like Law and Order is basically like every day something's being solved, you know?
Yeah.
Or right, like within 2 days. So whatever.
I think I try to go over to Malcolm's and see if they're in and, on the pretenses of following up with some of the information.
Down on 13th Street. That's where we'll be. You made me complete.
on the edge of my seat. Sweep me off my feet, down on 13th Street. Eyes of brown kept me in this town, knocked me down, turned me upside down, tore me down. Then I came around, down on 13th Street. This
podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.